next item on the agenda is Fishing Bay Yacht Club, number 11-0955. One, Jay.
Good morning again.
Sir.
It's not an after the fact. That's the good news, or some good news. Morning, Commission members. This is Fishing Bay Yacht Club requesting authorization to construct a 91-foot long by 6-foot wide T-head pier addition at the end of their existing commercial pier, and also add a 1-foot wide catwalk adjacent to a lift that's on that pier situated on Fishing Bay in Middlesex. The project is protested by the immediate adjacent property owner and another property owner in the area. Vicinity map is Deltaville, Stingray Point area of Middlesex County, Stove Point here. Kind of the inside of Stove Point is where the Fishing Bay Yacht Club is. You can see it here identified by the arrow. Fishing Bay is kind of a mix of residential down on this end and commercial over on the western shore.
Hoover Dam.
A little closer view from our 2009 aerial photograph. The pier as it exists today. You can see this is also the upland portion of the yacht club. The yacht club also has frontage on the Jackson Creek side where they keep their larger vessels. This is predominantly used for smaller fishing vessels here. Sailboats here. This is the adjacent property owner and the nearby property owner who are on record as far as opposing the project. This is from our aerial back in 2002 prior to Hurricane Isabel. You can see that there was a T-head at the Yacht Club Pier in this location. It's my understanding that the T-head was significantly damaged, and while the governor's executive order would have allowed repair to the facility within a year, they only repaired a portion of it, the L-head to the west side. They didn't, for whatever reason, replace it in its exact footprint. Just a little history here. Fishing Bay Yacht Club is a private sailing club on Stove Point. Frontage, like I said, both on Jackson Creek and Fishing Bay. The yacht club has been there for over 50 years. I'm sorry, the yacht club has been there. They can correct me. I think it moved from Urbana at some point in the past, but has been in this location for a number of years. Again, this request is to replace the T-head that was lost. From all indications, the existing pier was built sometime before 1962. Again, this was about, you can see in this drawing here, this is to represent, the dashed line represents the footprint of the old T-head. This was the original application that was received. At that time, this extension to the, this would actually be to the east, was going to be 78.5 feet long. They have revised that, and that is, it's now 60 feet long for a total length of 90 feet, because they're actually widening a little bit of the L-head on this side, and also the 1 foot wide finger pier catwalk around the outside of the boat lift. This pier is used, you'll see a ramp in this location. There's also a ramp in this location where they launch the smaller vessels. They walk them out along the pier, it's my understanding, and around out on the T-head to give them access to the bay. Again, we have members of the yacht club here that know the operation a lot better than I do, obviously. Again, original application drawings that were submitted showing lot lines of the adjacent properties. This riparian limit line, you'll see there are some riparian survey lines represented in some of these applications. I believe those are the result of an agreement rather than a court apportionment. But once again, the applicants can speak to how that all came about. But this is the existing pier, and the extension would come off this direction. The revision that reduced this to 60 feet down from 78.5 feet, if we zoom in a little bit, again, we can see the riparian limit line brought forward onto this survey. It's not represented on this side here. They're not, other than the catwalk, they're not doing any expansion to the west or northwest. So again, you can see for a 60-foot total extension to the southeast, as well as a little bit of a widening of the existing L head, and again, the footprint of the pre-Isabel T head. This is showing 78.8 feet to this riparian line, as it's called. When we first got the application and we first did our review, I noticed that the pier as it exists now is on the oyster lease of Mrs. Hawksworth. She was notified. She ended up submitting a letter of objection because she had some concerns and questions. Her letter is in the packet. I spoke with her on several occasions. She actually had acquired the lease through her late husband, so she's not real familiar with the whole use of the oyster lease and so forth. But at any rate, after much discussion and some additional information, she feels comfortable with it, and she has withdrawn her objection. And her letter is represented in tab 7. And you can see the Odell pier. Mr. Odell was the lot owner once removed, not adjacent, but once removed. His pier is also on Mrs. Hawksworth's lease, as are a number of other piers. Aerial I took the other day. I met with members of the yacht club and with Mr. Odell on site. You'll see some ground shots of that later on. I had asked let me back up just a little bit. There's a lot between Mr. Odell and the yacht club was owned by Jacob and Swenson. It's my understanding that the Jacobs now own that lot outright. Mr. Steve Swenson is no longer an owner of that lot. Back in July, I believe it was, before I even got application from the Yacht Club, Mr. Jacob applied for a private pier, which would also go out in this area. Again, the review showed that it would be on Mrs. Hawksworth's lease. We notified her. It's a little bit different situation because it's a private pier. She didn't object at any rate. It's a pier greater than 100 feet out onto oyster ground. We determine whether it's going to be an impact or not. At that time, I had asked the agent for the Jacob private pier to mark the end of where the proposed pier is going to be because it's somewhat congested. It's my understanding that's what this mark represents here. The Yacht Club later, I believe, made an attempt to identify the riparian line as it's represented on the survey, which is represented by, if you connect this point to this point, to back up into the upland. So the riparian line between the Yacht Club and the Jacob Swenson, now Jacob property, would be here. Again, the Jacob Pier being within their riparian area as best as I could determine. The Yacht Club also, at that time, had marked the end of the proposed extension, which at the time was 78.6 feet away from the pier itself. Again, now that's 60 feet, so if you can take 18.6 feet off of that and move it that direction, that's the proposed location. Terminus of the extension. Just a little bit different angle showing, you know, some of those marks out in the water. These are the ground shots I took the day that we met on site. Again, you can see the proposed 78.6 foot extension now somewhat brought back from that, looking straight out into Fishing Bay, looking more toward the west. This, I believe, is the Ralstons' private pier. They were notified. Several members of the Ralston family were notified. We never received any word one way or another from them, whether they objected. Now looking more southerly, Mr. Odell's pier. You can barely see right here those two marks. The nearest mark would be the riparian line. The furthest mark would be the proposed terminus of the proposed Jacob Pier. Looking directly over, a little bit closer view. Again, I believe the ribbon is to represent the riparian line, the agreed upon riparian boundary. Looking back, there's an unimproved ramp here. They bring some of the smaller boats down. I guess they walk them along the shoreline over to here. There's an improved ramp closer to the pier where they also launch these smaller sailboats. This is, again, there will be a 1-foot catwalk coming off of the inboard side of the lift pier. I believe this is like a chase boat for safety for during their regattas. Just some of the smaller boats that use the pier. Some of the small sailors that use the pier. This is the ramp, the unimproved ramp where they launch in this direction and then sail out into, walk it out along the pier and then out into Fishing Bay. It's not really related, but it is kind of related. I just wanted to show that this was the application we received from Jacob, identifying Fishing Bay Yacht Club as the adjacent property owner, Ken Odell as the adjacent property owner. I don't believe that Jacobs or their agent had benefit of all the riparian line history. It wasn't represented, but I kind of transposed one to the other, and as far as I could tell, it appears to be within their riparian area, therefore it enjoys a statutory exemption. Proposed extension coming out in this direction, Mr. Odell's pier. This is my attempt to represent what I believe will be the result if they were to get their project approved as they propose it, a 6 foot wide by 60 feet out this direction extension, and this gets a little bit wider on the L head as well as the 1 foot wide catwalk. And I'll just leave that there. Mr. Odell and initially both the Jacobs and Mr. Swenson object to the project. Mr. Jacob and Mr. Swenson both feel the project represents a dramatic departure for any structure on Fishing Bay and will be unsightly. They also believe the addition will create safety problems, force all boat traffic from the ramp toward their riparian line. It will impact an oyster lease and violates a verbal agreement made with the club upon purchase of the lot. I should expand on that a little bit. The club, Fishing Bay Yacht Club, bought another parcel in this vicinity here from Mr. Odell back in 2004, I believe, which allowed for some of the expansion of the upland sailing program. There's nothing proposed from that parcel. It's all, you know, attached to the Fishing Bay Yacht Club parcel that they had purchased back in the 50s, I believe.
Did anything come up pertaining to the contemplation if they purchased the upland, which expanded the breadth of the upland dimensions? Was there any discussion about the actual widening of the riparian expectation along with that purchase?
I am not sure. I could go back to the survey.
Are they here? But
yeah,
that's fine. I can ask it then.
Expand upon that.
Thank you.
I do know that there was, from speaking many times with Mr. Odell, there was some concern on his part, and that's part of the verbal agreement and maybe some of the other deed restrictions that he brings up in his letter, about what can occur on the new lot as far as, you know, can we build a new clubhouse on the new lot? Can we build a new pier on the new lot? And I think some of that was put to rest by the deed restriction and agreements.
That's more verbal agreements will be pretty difficult to mediate and deal with.
I understand.
Okay.
They both indicate that a large group of club members also feel that the construction is unwarranted. Mr. Odell, specifically, he serves on the grounds committee for the yacht club, shares many of those concerns. In addition, he believes it violates the deed restrictions, which I just mentioned, and will obstruct access to private property. He feels the pier addition is inconsistent with the neighboring commercial piers. Obstruct ingress and egress to the yacht club's ramps and will interfere with commercial watermen, obstruct anchorage in public waters of Fishing Bay, and lacks adequate launching width. He states that the proposal as being presented by Fishing Bay Yacht Club lacks Fishing Bay Yacht Club support. I haven't been able to understand that. I already mentioned the Jacob Pier and Mrs. Hawksworth Oyster Lease. The Middlesex County Wetland Board, because there's no direct impact to tidal wetlands within Middlesex County, and the board didn't feel that there would be any impact, indirect impact to tidal wetlands, so therefore they did not require a permit for the project. Army Corps of Engineers has issued their regional permit number 19 for the project. Department of Health I was sure I had their actual report, and I could not find it. I contacted them, and you will see their email response that there is no issue with the health department. It's kind of a different sort of comment that you would normally see. It's not on letterhead or anything, but it's in the record, and I have confirmation that there's nothing in this application that goes counter to the health department requirements. Virginia Department of Environmental Quality indicate a water protection permit is not required. No other agencies have commented. In summary, staff believes the T-head extension and catwalk construction will really not represent a significant expansion of the pier, which existed prior to Hurricane Isabel and sometime before that. We are unaware of any specific conflicts or complaints associated with the previously existing pier. We do consider safety and navigation. However, we believe the proposed construction may actually improve safety with little apparent impact to navigation in the immediate area. In fact, the proposed private pier, which by right can exist in between the Odell Pier and the Yacht Club Pier, would appear to represent more of a restriction to Mr. Odell than the Yacht Club Pier two lots away. Regarding the issues raised about deed restrictions, I read through this stuff. My hat's off to lawyers that can understand a lot of it. It's unclear to me whether the deed restrictions represent specific restrictions on this pier. In any event, we don't believe that construction over state-owned submerged bottom would necessarily be held up by any deed restrictions that go with the adjacent upland property. I'll leave that up to others to determine. Accordingly, after reviewing the project and the history of the site, all comments in the record, and after considering all the factors in 28.2.1205, we recommend approval of the project as proposed. We would recommend a royalty for the additional encroachment based on the square footage of the 1-foot-wide catwalk pier and the 6-foot-wide pier extension for 90 feet, which the math comes out to $871.50 for the encroachment. Of the square footage, I believe, is 500 square feet of encroachment over state owned subaqueous bottom. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions you have.
Questions of Mr. Woodward. Mr. Robbins, then Mr. Tankard. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jay, how much further to the south does this new extension go relative to the pre-Isabel Pier?
Because it's canted somewhat. Bear with me one second.
And just on the same line of questioning, can you tell us approximately how far that's going to be from the end of the proposed pier on the adjacent property?
I didn't put in protractor. I didn't measure the angle, but you're correct. It is slightly further offshore than the pre-Isabel dock. If that is 6 feet, I would say it's nine or ten feet at this location. Actually, a little further because it's further out. Was that your question?
Okay, that was the first one. And then the second question is approximately how far is that from the end of the proposed pier?
The survey, 78.8 feet to the riparian line.
Okay.
Because the Jacobs didn't represent that riparian line on their application, somewhat more than 78.8 feet. From looking at it in the field, it looked like maybe another 8 to 10 feet away, so 88 feet total from this proposed to this proposed.
Thank you. And just one more question. The proposed catwalk?
Yes.
Was that – did I read that correctly? That's a one-foot wide?
That was how it was proposed. And to tell you the truth, that kind of fell under the radar during all this. It never came up during the discussion with any of the protestants. It was in the drawings.
Cats go use it?
I'm not sure which one of you guys are going out on the that's as proposed. It was I don't know that we would have a lot of objection to making it wider, ergo safer. It's not represented on the drawing, but it's in the application described as a 1 foot wide catwalk.
Well, I know we don't normally meddle in design, but that kind of jumped out at me, and I just want to make sure I understood that correctly.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Tankard?
I had the same questions as Mr. Robbins, but give me an orientation again on north and north, south, west on this property. I couldn't read from any of the maps.
North to the top. Jackson Creek is to the top. I can go back to an aerial if that would help.
That'd be great.
Okay. I had some really good aerials that day. I should have put them all in here. These are our Vegan series that are all north-oriented
to
the top.
Yeah. And they're all, and so then my follow-up question is, and when we talked about safety and boating and maneuvering, docking, et cetera, do you feel as though that there is enough room for the sailboat population that exists there? I mean, they're going to be relying on probably a southwest summer wind.
Right. To be honest with you, I would defer to the Commodore and others.
Okay.
I've had enough sailing experience that with a small boat, I would probably be relatively comfortable. If it was a big boat, I'm not so sure.
Right.
But again, it's my understanding that a lot of how the operation works is these boats are brought down the ramps, and they are walked out.
Right.
And they're rigged, and the sails are raised while they're on the pier, and in this case, they're launch straight out, I guess, with a southwest wind, you'd have to tack out. But, again, I would defer to the members of the yacht club to speak specifically.
It's going to follow up. Well, these are all small boats that are using this area. This is not
what I understand, all of the smaller boats use this side. They're, I hate to keep jumping around. I apologize.
That's all right.
This is the yacht club's Jackson Creek facility. They have a travel lift here, and the 35 to 40 footers all sail out of Jackson Creek. I don't think that these ramps would support the launch of much bigger than a 20 footer.
Thank you.
Mr. Schick.
The little tiny pier that's in front of, I guess that's a tennis court, or is that a pool?
That's a swimming pool. Yes, sir.
That belongs to the protestant.
That belongs to the Jacob Swenson, now my understanding, Jacob
Lot.
Property. And the proposed private pier that we received an application for would be to replace that.
So it's going to be in the same place, basically.
It originates from the same place on the upland. I think it may cant a little more closer
to the yacht club
property. I believe, because it's proposed at a total of 280 feet. And when I take that out, it would be, come on, little. Anyway, Mr. Odell's pier is 262 feet from mean low water. As proposed, the Jacobs pier, I believe, is about 240 feet. So if you were to carry the line straight out, it would cause an interference. So I think they've
brought it
a little bit to that direction.
Obviously we agree, but I just want to clarify, the applicants do have the authority to do so. I mean, there seems to be a little conflict, but
as far as I know,
as far as the commission,
they convinced me.
Yeah, okay.
Further questions? Thank you, sir. Is the applicant present or represented? Would you come forward, please, sir?
PowerPoint challenged. my name is Matt.
Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Thank you, sir. Proceed.
Thank you, Commissioner and Commission members. My name is Matt Braun. I am the current DOCS chair. I'm a board member elected. My term started in 2011, January of 2011. I'm also the chairman of the Special DOCS Committee, which has been in existence, from my knowledge, since 1999 in the club. My role is to oversee the docks, recommend changes, make sure that they're maintained properly and the membership is happy. It's a big revenue stream on the Jackson Creek side. And on the Fishing Bay side, we utilize this dock primarily, as Mr. Woodward pointed out, for dinghy boats that are called our One Design Fleet, which range from 8-foot Optimists, Lasers, Mob Jacks, all under 20 feet. Mr. Woodward is accurate in describing how we use this dock. And I will add that we do beach launch some of those boats. The smaller boats and junior programs learn to sail off our beach on both sides of the dock. We utilize in the summertime for instruction, but the necessity for this dock really is based on the southwest wind. The prevailing southwest wind often puts us in a predicament of lining boats up directly into the wind, and will allow us to increase our capacity for launching, but most notably, when we come in with a southwest wind, it gives us more room to land. When our regattas typically end, all of the boats come in at the same time. And in the current configuration, if we have a motorboat or another visitor stuck in the middle of the dock, you know, 12 to 18 boats will come in at the same time, and we need more room to navigate in and safely moor the boats, to de-rig and get back in. Those are both sides of that. This, I'm sure there's a lot of questions about the history, and I will correct one thing. The club did start in 1938. In 1948, we bought this property. We built this dock in 1949 with the original clubhouse. This clubhouse is our third clubhouse. Currently, we have a membership of 300 members. We're an all-volunteer club, private club. With that said, we've been maintaining this dock from 1949 until 2003, at which time it was substantially damaged. We rebuilt most of it, as Mr. Woodward pointed out, and we would just like the commission to consider letting us build back a similar T extension.
Questions of the gentleman? Mr. Schick?
To gain membership, is that you said it's a private club, so it takes a vote of the membership for a new person to come in?
Correct. So they would have to sponsor, and the member would be voted on by the voting members of the board, which is, I don't have the numbers on it. But
you don't have any number limit of how many members you can have?
I would have to defer that question to the Commodore, who's with us, David Hinkle. I don't know, but I think we do have a number limit, but I don't know what that. We're far below that number limit right now.
Okay.
Thank you. Is there any Jay? Where'd Jay go? Can you put the slide back up, the one that you configured that would demonstrate how you perceive that it would look in real time? I'm sure there is a reason, but I'd like to hear it, as to why the L-head extends so much in this direction versus splitting the difference between the middle of the main spine.
If you allow me, I'll go over here to the screen and kind of.
I'd like to get a pointer because I want to keep you on record.
Okay. There as well.
And I'm sure there is, but I just had to ask.
This is good. Yeah, the
riparian line.
The riparian line for the Ralston property, approximately, is 5 feet
on
the end of this.
That's all I need to know. Further questions of the gentleman? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you. Just a couple, sir. Could you comment on the need for the length of the T-head? And also, with respect to the earlier question I asked staff about the 1 foot width on that catwalk, can you talk about that a little bit?
And to your first question, the length was the original length was 78 feet. It was designed to put eight flying Scots with about a 7 foot beam together. The capacity of our typical regatta is about between 14 to, in some cases, special regattas we can have 40 boats. The idea was to get at least eight boats in the deeper water, which is the 9 foot water line, if you can see here. And with a southwest wind, have them trail off as a 20 foot boat and a 6 foot painter, so that their rudder and their centerboard would be in a navigable, and that any one of those boats could leave the dock, sail around the other boat, and leave at the same time. Because most of our events, we will have a queue of all of those boats with people waiting on the ramp to come on, and the process is to launch the last boats out and around, and we need a little bit of navigable water for the dinghy to get out safely. Does that answer that first question?
It does, thank you.
And then as to the point on the 1 foot catwalk, I really don't know, that this lift is used for one of our chase boats, and it stays there for most of the summer, and the lift, this was added so that people could access bow lines on this side of the boat. It wasn't really, it was more just to get around to that side of the boat. It wasn't something that we were going to moor boats to, and also allows people who use this little finger dock to moor safely here and not get caught up in the middle of this lift if the wind shifted around. And I think that was really more just a barrier and a convenience factor. The 1 foot, I have no idea. So this cat doesn't know. So.
Further question? I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I mean, typically in the interest of safety, you'd make a catwalk at least several feet wide. So I was curious.
I don't think there would be any opposition. I mean, I don't think there's any opposition to the width of that. I mean, I guess.
I think he's just making a suggestion. It's totally up to you.
Okay.
Further questions? Thank you, sir. Does anyone else wish to be heard from your organization?
I had brought the Commodore, our special community advisory board liaison, and our rear Commodore, more to answer any questions that I couldn't, because my focus is
docking. Okay, who's been around the longest? Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name for the record, please.
Ludwell Hill Kimbrough.
Mr. Kimbrough, Commodore Kimbrough, the question I have is, can you convey to the commission any problems, any historical problems that you've had in the neighborhood prior to this expansion as far as the for lack of a better term, mixed use of this regatta-style facility versus that of private boating, private fishing? Can you,
sure.
Is there any history of problems?
Of course.
Okay.
It's waterfront. The oldest problem that I'm aware of was that there was an adjacent property owner in what is now the Ralston's property, Mrs. Hancock, whose riparian line comes about right here, and there was, now this is early 60s.
Mm-hmm. I was around.
This was extended out onto Mrs. Hancock's property, and chainsaws came out, and it got shortened back short of the riparian line. So there was some contentious neighbor relationships. Mrs. Hancock later moved over into this home and sold this to the Ralstons, and I personally maintain a very good relationship with the Ralstons and advise them of everything that we're doing there. Also, Bo Ralston participates on our community advisory board, which I chair for the Yacht Club. When the Yacht Club purchased this land and had to submit an application for a zoning, I think it was a special condition permit to operate a yacht club in a residential area, there were a number of community members who voiced a number of concerns. There was a contentious process, and essentially we went to the Middlesex Board of Supervisors, and they said, we're not deciding these differences. You guys get together and figure it out. That was the genesis of a community advisory board, which I participated in at that time. The board was made up of about 8 community members and about 3 of us from the Yacht Club. We eventually resolved the issues in the proffers, which you've seen as part of your package. Those proffers include an ongoing advisory board, limitations on lighting, and some other things, all of which we are very careful to honor. So, from its contentious origins, the Community Advisory Board has evolved. I took over chairmanship of it about 4 or 5 years ago, and it's actually become a very good mechanism for communication. We have very good discussions, meetings. I bring before the board, I notify, we're required to have 2 members each from the association that oversees Stove Point, neighbors east of Fishing Bay, neighbors west of Fishing Bay. I've actually expanded.
I'm really worried just in that small area. That's what I'll.
Well, my point is that February of 2010, we presented the original proposal to the Community Advisory Board, which we also invited. We always invite the Swensons and Jacobs, the adjacent neighbors, as well as Bo Ralston, adjacent neighbor West, who is on the board, to communicate to them the issue we had with running regattas when we have a prevailing southerly breeze, show them the diagram that we intended to submit. We also had one of the members actually participate in the design process, and his comment to the Community Advisory Board was that he had attended several of the meetings and he thought the planning process was commendable. The advisory board that we met with in that February all agreed with the plan, and I notified the Commodore by email the next day.
Thank you. Further questions, gentlemen? Thank you, sir. Is anyone here in support of this project? Anyone here in opposition to this project? Seeing none, the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Schick.
I move to approve this project as submitted and as advised by staff, and with a possible recommendation to allow them to have from a 1 to 3 foot wide catwalk. That's that would be their choice.
Second to the motion, Mr. Robbins. I'm sorry. Ms. Plum?
I'm just seconding if you want me.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just suggest that if they do choose to amend the width of the catwalk, that they submit revised plan drawings subject to approval by the staff.
Is that acceptable to the maker of the motion?
Yes.
It is. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen, very much.